Turn to 1 John chapter 2 this evening. 1 John chapter 2. We're looking at Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, part 2. And I'm going to go back to where we quit last time in this. We were looking at marks of false teachers. And so we wound up with restating that plus a neat saying to finish it out. The first mark of a false teacher is that they depart from the fellowship of the church. They depart from the fellowship of the church. And then the old saying that is still true, faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. I like that. You got five words beginning with the letter F there. Faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the start. Let us pray and ask God's help and direction, and we'll begin our second one tonight. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your blessing today. Thank you for each who has come out tonight in this very windy situation that we find ourselves in. We have heard from some of our people that they have been out of electric. They are, do not have it right now. And so we do pray for them and all those in our area that are without it, that you would help the men to go quickly and be able to fix that. And we do pray that it'll come back quicker than what has been predicted. So we ask that you just watch over our people and help them through this time, keep their homes safe and them safe. And we ask that you would carry them through this thing miraculously and wonderfully and bring them out on the other side. So we commit that to you tonight. We also pray now for our time in the Word, that you might bless this tonight as we look at 1 John. And we're so thankful for the great Apostle John and the fact of his willingness to sit down and to pen these words from you. And we ask that you might bless them to our hearts and our lives tonight as we look at them once again. And Holy Spirit, I need your help. Fill me now. Direct me through this message. And we pray that we would grow together and learn some neat things about our great Savior and our position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're in 1 John chapter 2, looking at verses 18 through 25. We'll read those and we'll begin where we left off last time. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of them of us. But ye have an unction, or an anointing, from the Holy One, and you ye know all things. I have not written unto you, because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he hath acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So tonight as we begin point number two, the Holy Spirit confirms your knowledge of the truth. The Holy Spirit confirms your knowledge of the truth. We find this in verses 20 and 21. So to say again, the first mark of a false teacher is that they depart from the fellowship of the church. Now tonight we move to the second mark of false teachers, is that they deny the faith. They deny the faith. John is emphatic in verse number 20 as he says, "But ye," or "but you." He says, "But you, true believers, you have an unction," or an anointing, "from the Holy One." The Holy One here refers to Jesus or the Holy Spirit or both. This is the first indirect reference to the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 John, and John will refer in this book to the Holy Spirit 6 times. The word unction or anointing is John's metaphor from the Old Testament, where kings were anointed by pouring the olive oil on their head, setting them apart for special service. That being the king is a special thing. And we know from our study of the Kings and the Chronicles that we had more kings that did not belong there than did. More kings that did not say, "Yeah, this is a holy calling upon my life." We need to see a holy calling upon our lives tonight as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it signified Christians being endued with the Holy Spirit in order to succeed in their calling. We all want to succeed in anything that the Lord calls us to do. Jesus had promised this to his disciples before he went to the cross. This anointing is the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells every single believer. You don't have to seek an anointing. We hear that in some places. You do not have to seek an anointing. You already have it. You already have it. If you are a born-again Christian here tonight, you have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to have in terms of His indwelling your life. I'm going to turn to a couple extra verses as we go tonight. The first one is 1 Corinthians 12:13. First Corinthians 12:13, which says, "For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The problem that many believers has is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of us. We have all of Him, but does He have all of us? That is the question. He wants to fill us completely so that we might regularly bear fruit spiritually. Who is it that sends the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus said, "When I leave, I will send Him unto you." True Christians have an anointing in contrast to the false teachers who are anti-Christ, as John says. That is, they are against the true anointed one. The result of this anointing is that all Christians have knowledge of the truth. Tonight, as we sit here at Faith Chapel, we have knowledge of the truth. We already have an anointing as a Christian. So John says, "You know all things." What John means here is, you know the truth because the Holy Spirit, who is truth, indwells you. You know the truth because you have been taught the truth. To know Christ is to know Him who possesses all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, verse 3. So there's four things we know. Christians know God. Christians know the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians know the Word of God. And Christians, John says, know the truth. We know how to tell the difference between truth and error. False teachers from true. And I hope that as you're walking this pilgrim pathway that you have had the opportunity already to be able to pick these people out. Have been confronted with situations where the Holy Spirit just seems to say to you, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this person. There's something wrong with this teaching. You know, it's a really neat thing that John tells us that we know seven things. We know seven things. So as we page through the book of 1 John, he tells us seven times. The first one is in chapter 2, verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And then in chapter 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Same chapter, verse number 14, begins with that. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Also from chapter 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Same chapter, verse number 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Chapter 5, verse number 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And number 7 is verse number 18 in chapter 5. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So we have seven things that John tells us here that we know. There are three major ways to know if something is true or not. The first one is God has given us the gift of reason. We can reason through things. You can reason to understand and know things. Reason is a gift from God. Number two, the second way that you can know something is true is by experience. By experience. And then number three, the third way to know truth is by divine revelation. Divine revelation. God, who knows all truth, has come into history and has told us some of His truth. So we can know that something is true because God has revealed to us His truth. God has revealed Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His written Word. Of course, lots of religions claim to have a revelation from God. We looked at that last week. They claim to have a revelation from God, but it differs from what the Bible has to say. How do we know what is the real deal? Like a lot of things in life, you have to test them. You have to put it to the test. Test the product. This truth John speaks about can be known now. Not later. Now. And it can be known by believing it. How were you saved? You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John continues in verse 21 to remind us that we do know the truth. He is not writing because he needs to give us truth. He says, you know the truth. I'm not writing because you don't know it, you know it. He's writing because we do know the truth. And the verb know here emphasizes our reception and our ongoing possession of the knowledge. John gives us a second reason why he is writing when he affirms in verse 21 that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Now that statement implies two things. First, nothing untrue, a lie, comes from true Christian doctrine or teaching. No lies come there from there at all. And second, since God is the author of Christian truth, and since God is truth and cannot lie, no lie comes from God. Jesus said concerning his word in John 17:17, your word, thy word is truth. Notice, he did not say, your word is true. It is true for sure, but Jesus says, your word is truth. God's truth is what makes everything else true. When John mentions a lie in verse 21, he expands on just what makes a false teacher a liar. Go back and look at verse number 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. I'm often troubled by people, and I have friends, I have high school classmates, and they say that they believe in God, that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they have another list over here of things that they had better do in order to be saved. And that just doesn't wash. It's just not right. Their total trust and confidence is not in the Savior. They're trying to make it in Jesus plus these other things. And it just kind of concerns me what's going to happen to them when they're standing at the judgment bar. What's going to happen there? Where was their faith really? Was it in Christ alone, or was it in Christ plus other things? All lies are lies. But then again, there are lies, and then there are lies. John says that these liars are liars par excellence. They are super duper liars. They are not just liars, they are big fat liars. Not physically. They are just big fat liars. Their lie strikes at the very heart of the gospel in that it denies Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. They deny that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, God in human flesh, whose purpose is to provide salvation through his death on the cross of Calvary. Think about all those people, all those religions, and all those movements that deny this truth. And there are a lot of them. John is an equal opportunity offender. He calls all of them liars. They are all liars. The devil uses false teachers to quote snippets of Scripture to their advantage. They pervert Scripture to turn people against the Lord Jesus Christ. They misinterpret Scripture to suit their own ends. They're a bunch of really nice guys, aren't they? Point number three, denial of the Son is denial of the Father as well. Denial of the Son is denial of the Father as well. We see this in verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. A denial that Jesus is the Messiah is also a denial of God the Father. You cannot have it this and that. It has to be both. They say we all worship the same God. We just don't agree on Jesus. Well, that's a big problem. That's a really big problem. No. If you deny the deity of Christ, you cannot say you worship the true God because you do not. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. You cannot choose God and reject Jesus. You deny the Son, you deny the Father as well. John says, anyone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah is Antichrist. You cannot believe in God and not believe in Jesus. There is only one way to God, not many. You've probably seen the bumper sticker, coexist. Sorry, Charlie, it does not even begin to cut it. There is only one way to God, not many. A lot of people, all roads lead, no, they do not. You're going through Jesus Christ or you're not going. That's it. Bottom line, what did Jesus himself say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. John 14:6. John continues his logic in verse number 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Anyone who denies the Son has not the Father either. To have the Father is to have a spiritual relationship with the Father. Relationships are involved here. The only way we can have a spiritual relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. To deny the Son is to deny the Father. And to fail to be in a relationship with both. It has to be a relationship with both. John ends the verse by stating the opposite truth. To openly acknowledge Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, is to be in a right relationship with God the Father. And then point number four, abiding in the Father and the Son is eternal life. Abiding in the Father and the Son is eternal life. Verses 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. In verses 24 and 25, John pulls this all together with a challenge and a promise. The placement of the word "you" in this verse is in the emphatic position, strongly contrasts the true believer with false teachers. The phrase "heard from the beginning" refers to when John's readers first heard the gospel and believed. To let the truth of the gospel abide in you means two things. Number one, it means that you accept the truth. And secondly, you interact with the truth and you allow it to control your thinking and your actions. So we need to accept the truth and we need to adhere to the truth of the gospel. The result is we will continue in fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with God the Father. Verse 25 closes out this passage with a promise. Those who know the Son and the Father in a saving way, those who obey His gospel and its precepts, have the promise of eternal life. This is the promise given by the Lord Jesus Christ. True Christians are people who have eternal life now, and we will have eternal life in heaven. Our eternal life we have right now will never, ever end. Eternal life is a gift from God through Christ that every true believer possesses and shares. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand and to do a memorial service for one who believes. Because we know that, yeah, the body has stopped. The body has died. But there is no break. We have eternal life. And it just goes on. There is no stoppage. There is no soul sleep. There is no purgatory. None of that. It is absent from the body and present with the Lord. We have eternal life now. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us tonight. Thank you for the marvelous truth that we are looking at here in 1 John. What a blessing to be able to just rehearse these wonderful truths together. It strengthens our hearts. It affirms. It helps us on our way. It gives us motivation, gives us confidence, gives us peace in our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you might take the message of this scripture that we looked at tonight and bless it to our hearts and our lives. And may it propel us in an even bigger and broader and wonderful way as we seek to serve our wonderful Savior who loved us so much that He gave all on our behalf. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.